Yeah. Coming up next to the stage, Grant Collins. I'm probably going to be pointing to the ceiling a lot. Yeah. So I'm glad I know. When I first heard the theme Intention, I wrote this diatribe on my computer, and it sounded like a sermon. Of course, I come from the Deep South in the Bible Belt, and I thought about being a preacher for a while. So I spared you all, and I deleted that immediately, and was like, man, what do I think about when I hear Intention? And I thought about your sitcom dads. Like, what's your intention with my daughter? And it got me thinking, like, how many dads I had to deal with down south when I was starting out dating. And I never got that exact speech or that question, because I don't know what I would have said at 15, 16, 17 years old anyway, because who has intentions at that age, except the main few intentions you have at that age. But I got to thinking about all the dads I've met, and I was like, let's visit some of those dads and down south. My first, like, serious girlfriend, her father was a preacher, Church of Christ, which I grew up First Baptist. I don't know if you know what that means, but that means they both think the other group's going to hell, even if you're going to church and doing everything right, the other group's still wrong, which my father and mother are Church of Christ and First Baptist, so it's a real Romeo-Juliet thing going on in my family. It worked out because they don't go to church anymore anyway. But I would alternate between my grandparents, and I would hear how my other grandparents were going to hell every other Sunday. So that kind of screwed me over a little bit. But I met Katie through a church camp, as you do. And I went and met, I went to her church for the first time. And I didn't know it was some kind of like big Church of Christ get together. Like, all the Church of Christ from the towns around came in. And you put your name on a tag and you put where you went to church. And I wrote First Baptist, Portland, Tennessee. And I didn't really think anything about it at the time, but sermon was pretty hardcore on those First Baptist kids going to hell. And then I walked up, and I was like, excuse me, sir, I'm Grant, I'm dating Katie. And then everyone I met that day looked down and just changed their faces a little bit. But we dated for a while, and that was fine. He never asked me my intentions. But soon after that, I met a girl from a few towns over. She wasn't a preacher's daughter. She was a little bit younger, but her dad lived out in the woods in a cabin he built by hand. Actually, it was his job. He went around taking old cabins and turning them into new cabins, which that's a very lucrative job down south. I'm from Portland, Tennessee, by the way, which is about, at the time, 9,000 people. You from there? No. Very small place. So I met this guy for the first time. I'd been on a few dates with his daughter. And I walked into the cabin, and there was every knife and gun he owned spread across the tables in the living room, everywhere else. And he was polishing, sharpening, cleaning every single part of it. And I owned a few guns, so I sat down and helped him. I wasn't scared. I don't know if it was on purpose or if he just happened to be the day he decided to clean all those things. But he also never asked me my intentions, but I think I knew his. After that, I went to the wild side a little bit and dated this girl from my high school that was, you know, I was goody two-shoes, and she was, I don't know what you want to call that. She had fun in high school instead of being boring like I was. So we went out on a date, and she kept looking at her phone, which back then was like a little thing with buttons and a green screen, and that's all it did. But I was wondering what was going on, and by the end of the date, we went to go-karts and miniature golf. She finally told me that she was on, I don't know what you call it, but basically on parole, the version of that in high school, where you had to check in with the whatever officer ever so often. And she was embarrassed, so she didn't do it. So now they were looking for her. So I took her home, and she lived down, and I'm going to call it the boonies, which is, or a holler, which is where you actually drive, you drive your car down elevation, because it's down inside of a holler. Not in a log cabin, a trailer. And nothing against that, but that's where she lived. And I didn't walk her to her door because I was like, man, she's in trouble probably. I'm going to sit here and wait to make sure she gets to her door, which is right there. But I'm not going to get out because maybe she wants me to kiss her there, or her dad thinks I want to kiss her there at the door. I'm just going to sit in my car. So I did, and she got in safely, and I drove home. By the time I got home, I got a phone call, and it was her dad. And he was so mad that I did not walk her to the door that night. He berated me for 30 minutes on the phone about how I was not a gentleman for not walking his daughter to the door. And I just took it all. My parents weren't home because later I told my mom and she's like, I would have said something, but I just took that. I took that and I think it shaped who I am now. You know, I always walk a girl to the door. Except in the city, because that's kind of weird. Especially if you don't live at the same stop at all. It's like, well, I'm going to go out of my way and walk you home. There's no, I'm not expecting anything, but it's kind of weird, right? but I didn't learn my lesson, and I dated another preacher's daughter a few years later. Guys, I've mentioned four girls so far. It's not like I'm some Lothario or something, okay? We've all dated at least four people. But there's another preacher's daughter, and she was like the General Baptist, and maybe the Baptist of the First or something. It's a little, they're like, they're at the normal church, and they decide that that's too hardcore for what they want to do, and they remove themselves, and that church grows, and they remove themselves, and that church grows, and they remove themselves. So you don't know what you're going to get when you walk in. So I walk in, there's a praise band, nothing wrong with that. I didn't grow up with one, but there's like electric guitars and drums, and everyone's got those Britney Spears mics, like... Everybody does. Her mother was the organ. Well, it was like a keyboard. And she sang with her mother, and her father was the preacher. And it was right after Katrina, so we'll date this. And, man, he had a dream the night before that the world was ending. God told him that the world was over, and it was time. Like, in the next 2 weeks, the world was done. It was time to get saved, get right with the Lord, because the world was over. So this is my first Sunday in that church, first time I met him too, and I'm sitting on the front row with her, and I'm hearing this hellfire and damnation, and at least he's not picking on any other denominations, it's just the world in general is over. So it's done, and I've been to a few churches like this before where they have the altar call, which in a normal church is like you sing some song, and everyone's like, oh, do you feel the need in your heart to come up and turn yourself over to the Lord today? If you feel that deep in your heart, join us as we sing. That's pretty normal. But this is like, I promise you today the world is over. You come up here. And the whole church went up there and was lying on the ground on the altar, just crying, crying in a pile, man. Like, they were all touching and like, oh, Jesus. And I was sitting in the front row, and I was just like, I'm not getting up. I made the decision. I was like, I'm not getting up there. I'm sorry. And then I sit there for a while, and then they're just on the ground. And, like, the mom's up there wailing on the keyboard, like, cranking it out. And she finally gets up and comes up to me. And she just walks up, and she goes, Grant, are you saved? And she had a little Britney Spears mic, and it projected all over the church. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I was. But, So, no, I didn't ever get asked the, what are your intentions? I didn't ever get that speech, but I do feel like I went through the ringer just a few times growing up in the South and dating. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah! Thank you, Grant. Exemplary storytelling, exemplary pointing. Let's all take that lesson.